B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two of the program at 3:04 in the afternoon. Got Felger and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz on location. The latest in Major League Baseball. What has occurred to you, Maz, as the two sides continue to negotiate?
So I think that the owners have put a number on what they're going to pay the players during the regular season, and it's up to the players to decide how they want to get it. Because, again, the money in the contract between MLB and the networks is really all about the postseason. So the owners want to play the postseason. That's what their goal is. That is really the only impetus for them in the regular season. They're going to lose money. And so, you know, I looked at the most recent reports, which again, first of all, let me back up a couple of days and say the players proposed 114 games at prorated salary. The owners will dismiss that out of hand. They will absolutely not do that. And then the reports came out that the owners are considering a 50-game proposal, and it should be noted they haven't actually made this to the players yet, at least not based on what I have seen. And but that in that scenario, the owners would give the players their prorated part of the salary, which means it's about the dollar amount. So the prorated part of a 50-game schedule, the players would get, again, just because I get people get confused by this, one third of the season gets played, basically they get one third of their salaries. That's basically the deal. It's $1.5 billion, and I'm rounding off. But I think the owners have put a number on it, Mike. I think that they're saying, nope, here's the deal. We are going to pay you $1.5 billion during the baseball season. That's what we're going to agree to. The question is, how many games do you want to play? Do you want to play 82, in which case we can modify how we get to the 1.5? Or do you want to play 50 or 54 or 60, whatever the number is? And I throw 54 in there because it's exactly one third. But if you want to play 54, fine. There you go. $1.5 billion. You guys decide. More games for the same money or less games for the same money? It's your call. I think that's where we are.
And you feel that's a fair position on the part of the owners?
Fair as in, you know, willing to negotiate? No. But do I think that, you know, am I surprised by it? No, because I thought it was headed this way. I think I told you days ago. The more I think about it, I don't think they even want to play 82. I think they want to play less because they know they're going to lose money during the regular season. And so I just think they've done the math, and they now have come to the conclusion that we'll spend 1.5 during the regular season, $1.5 billion. And then we'll be able to make a good chunk of that back after the season and the playoffs. We'll get our money back. We'll make some money. You know, we'll make what we deem to be an exceptional or acceptable, rather, percentage for, you know, for our shareholders or whatever else. And then we'll go forward with that. To me, it's a math equation now. And that's how I take it with the owners.
Okay, we hit on this yesterday. Is a 50-game season, 54-game season a season to you?
No. Short, way too short. Again, now, there are elements of this that I like. I like the fact that it's short because it eliminates a lot of the analytics. It eliminates a lot of the bull crap that has been part of the problem with baseball over the years. The game needs urgency. It needs urgency on the field. And so I'll take that in multiple forms. A 50-game schedule means that you got to play every game with some level of urgency. Now, ideally, I would like the players to act with urgency within the game, throw the ball quicker, more action, all of that. But, you know, that is sort of another discussion unto itself. But 50 games, absolutely. I'll take it over 114 any day of the week. Anything that makes the players play every game like it means something, I'll take it in the short term.
It'd certainly be interesting. You know, I'm all short for a shorter season, but it's too short. You need 30 more. It's a game that's been always based on big sample sizes, right? 50's just, that's too weird.
It is weird. I think it would be good, though.
So do I.
It'd be real interesting.
It would. You know, like, I mean,
the urgency, like Maz is talking about, that will be there.
I'm conflicted again, saying that, you know, 50 games is not a season. I think 82, you can call it a season. You know, but I think that 50... And that's not even 2 months of baseball. Like, that is,
right.
You know, that's short. Not a season. That's, like, sort of asterisk worthy. And so, like, I say that's just too short. But who am I? I mean, my biggest complaint is that there's too many games. It takes too long. It's too stretched out. So this is just the opposite.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It'll be a sprint. It'll be a race immediately, right out of the chute. And that's good. That'll be good. That should make for a good product on the day-to-day.
So I am eager to see what fans think of it. Like the whole idea of a 54-game season. Do you like it? Because I look at it and say, I'll watch that. Absolutely. Now every game. Again, how many times do you see a manager say, oh, geez, you know, we've been on the road. Sunday's here. I'm going to play all my backups on Sunday afternoon, put the B squad out there. Yeah, we're going to bump the starters all back a day, give everybody an extra day of rest. F you. Let's go. Let's play. And so now 50 games. I like it. And again, the analytics guys will hate this because it's going to skew all the data, going to throw everything off. The managers are going to have to reevaluate and say, well, wait a minute now. This is a sprint. It's no longer a marathon. It's a sprint. So we got to come out of the gate playing well. We've got to keep the pressure on because something as simple as a 5-game losing streak could bury you in a 50-game season. I mean, again, think of the math. A 5-game losing streak in a 50-game season is the equivalent of losing 16 in a row in a 160-game season. So that is given the percentages, that's just a massive blow to your team. You can't afford it. You're going to have to play every series to win, or you're not going to get in. I think the game needs that.
So, Maz, if we're saying the owners proposed 50 games, $1.5 billion in total salaries, let's just, you know, round it off to make this simple.
Sure.
And the players came in at 114 games, could we just call that over $3 billion in player salaries?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the sweet spot somewhere in the middle of that, right? It would be that's a gap of 64 games. So 82, right? That's right in the middle of that of the owner's first proposal. 82 games is the sweet spot's 82 games and about, you know, $2.25 billion, right? Like that's the mid ground.
Right, except that's that scenario or that proposal was out there at the very beginning, and the owners didn't want to do it. So, you know, they weren't going to give the players that share of their salaries or that prorated share of their salaries over 50% of the season. They weren't going to do it, which is why, Mike, that's not a solution anymore. So I think the owners looked at it and said, well, if we're going to play 82 games, that's why they came up with that sliding pay scale, because they said, no, the number we want to spend on salaries this year without fans is $1.5 billion. So you guys clearly don't want to go for that on a sliding pay scale, so we're going to have to take games away. It feels to me like the owners aren't going to give in on that one, that the dollars are what the dollars are. And so it is now incumbent upon the players to decide, and this is a big question, do we want to show up for 54 games, and I keep saying 54 just because it's a third.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a nice, easy number in baseball is that 54-game total. But do we want to show up for that? And, you know, they keep talking about safety concerns and say, do we want to put ourselves at risk beyond the field for a third of our salaries and then the playoffs? Do we want to do that? And I think the owners are going to, you know, the owners have kind of backed the players into a corner here a little bit because I think what they're saying is, hey, look, do you want to play baseball or not? And because of the way they started this thing off and they smeared the players at the beginning, they totally backed them into a corner and smeared them. Now it's going to look like if the plug gets pulled, it's going to get pulled by the players, even though the owners are the ones that kind of angled them this way.
Okay, meanwhile, finally a player says something that we like, it takes a former player, I guess. This is Pedro Martinez. What is he on? I want to credit it properly. What's this from?
He was on NBC Sports with Mike Tirico.
Okay, so the Tirico lunchtime program. That's actually pretty good. If you can catch it on the replay on NBC Sports Boston, they run it at night sometimes when they're not running some insufferable old Celtics game. But anyway, this is Pedro Martinez. I think he was sitting there with his wife.
He was, yeah.
And
Carolina.
And Mike Tirico talking about the labor impasse in baseball. Here's Pedro.
I'm hoping that both sides actually stop thinking about their own goods to start thinking about the fans. I think these are perfect times to have, their baseball teams out there. People need something to actually do and find a way to relax. I hope that the Players Association and MLB realize how important it is to bring some sort of relief to the people. And the business part of baseball is dirty. It's dark. And I hope that they take in consideration who pays our salary, what the people do for us, how important the people are. Let's not be selfish. Let's think about the fans. Let's think about the families that are home that want to at least watch a baseball game and distract themselves from all the things that are going on.
So what stood out to you there, Miss?
Okay, so now look, he obviously spends some time talking about the diversion and distraction, but the real meat of that comment is what he said in the middle. Let's not forget who pays our salaries and what the fans mean. And, you know, this is the part I think that is consistently getting lost more by the players than the owners. And the owners are guilty of it, too. I'm not picking a side. I'm just telling you, I think the players give fans the finger constantly. Constantly. And what Pedro is saying here is, hey, you understand if there is no game, there are no fans. If there are no fans, there's none of this for anybody. Okay? It's all about the fans are the ones that generate the revenue because they have interest in it. If the product sucks and you act like a bunch of a-holes, you're ultimately going to hurt yourself as much as anyone because the fans are going to stop caring. And I think we've already seen some of that here in recent years. And so I've said this all along. What does the game do for the fans anymore? What do the players do for the fans? And I don't want to hear about autographs and stuff like that. I'm talking about the product on the field. Have they improved the experience for the viewer and the guy who sits in the stands? And my answer is no. It's gotten worse. It has gotten worse with each passing year. Even the experience at the ballpark now, as much as it's needed in some cases, is more distant than it's ever been before because of the screens that are up around the ballpark and things like that, let alone what you have to pay for tickets and parking and concessions and everything else. I just think it's become the whole operation has become less fan-friendly. And as a result of it, people are less inclined to tolerate the bullcrap, and I don't blame them. Baseball better snap out of it.
I mean, just as you mentioned, though, it's the first time I can think of a player mentioning the fans. I mean, certainly none of the current guys, really.
No, right. Yeah, figures that it's a retired one, too.
You know, but letting the word escape your mouth, fans. You know, it's really the first time you've heard it. Remember them? Okay, so there's some baseball thoughts for you. We can add that to the list. Mix it in with our football calls at 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
Dugger Pass.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You have some new information coming in. What are you hearing about this proposal, Jeff?
Hey, Kevin, what's happening right now is Major League Baseball saw the 114-game proposal that the Players Association had and said, this is not going to work. What they are willing to do at this point, though, is go to a full pro rata over a shorter season. Now, the length of the season is going to be really difficult for the players to accept. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 games. But the issue here is that Major League Baseball is moving a little bit toward the middle, along with the players trying to as well. For the longest time, really since the end of March when this agreement was put into place, players have been asking for their full pro rata salary. A 50-something game season, Major League Baseball would be willing to do to get them there. Now, this does not mean that baseball is back at this point, but this is a step in the right direction. The question is, are the players going to be willing to accept and show up to play that 50-something game season? And is there going to be further discussion here that really fleshes it out and gets them on the same page?
Passing on ESPN, who we quote a lot, but he's on it, so might as well. Maz, do you agree that they're moving towards the middle, step in the right direction?
No, I don't. And I'll tell you why I don't. Because, again, the players just recently, Mike, proposed 114 games. Now the owners are going from 82 to 50. To me, it feels like they're going in the opposite direction. So to me, again, the way I took this was The owner said, look, you want to play 82 games, you're going to do it on a sliding scale. You want to play 50 games, we'll give you the prorated share of your salary that you want. Which is why I think it's ultimately a dollar figure. The owners are saying, no, it's $1.5 billion no matter what. You decide how many games you want to play or whether you want to show up. So, you know, the players proposed 114 games because they thought it would get them more money. That's why they proposed it. The owners came back and basically gave them half of that. Or, you know, and again, they haven't made the offer yet. Okay, so, but it feels to me like they're saying, nope. This is what we're going to do. Now you have to decide whether you want to play. Like, I disagree with Passan where he says, no, the owners, the players have to decide. What? That's a big question. You know, it's not just a, you know, now here's what they have to deliver. No, no. Is it worth showing up for 50 games if we're only going to get a third of our salaries? Like, I think the owners are trying to pin it on the players.
Okay, your thoughts, mixing this baseball with our football conversation. Ruben in Winchester on the MLB negotiations. Go ahead, Ruben. Ruben! Okay, Babe calls back. You know the number. Kenny on the Cape on our NFL conversation. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, what's up, guys? I know Bedard has a lot of subscribers who enjoy it and get a lot out of it, but just thinking back to the German League and how home field was nullified, doesn't that play a part in the schedule or not play a part in the schedule? Yeah, win game. Thanks, guys.
Yes, okay. I didn't understand what you – I don't. The first part I didn't get you. But the no fans in the crowd or, you know, much smaller crowds in the stands, Maz, for the Patriots. Week – whatever this is. Week two at Seattle, week four at Kansas City. Do I have that right?
Yep.
If those stadiums are empty or half full or a third full, that's a factor, is it not?
Yeah,
totally. Huge variable.
Yeah.
Huge.
It helps nullify that. I mean, those are the two most difficult places to play, I think, in the league.
And I'd put Denver in there, too. You'd still have, you know, atmospherics in Denver, but not the, when I mean, you know, the air quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the fans. So that, you know, so that helps the Patriots. Is it enough to, you know, close the gap between the Chiefs and the Patriots? What would be the spread on that game? We had it, you know, a couple weeks ago, right? I can't remember what it is, but what would you make the spread of that game, Kansas City, New England, Mass?
Got to be at least a touchdown.
And if, but Zach, you know, with crowd, without crowd, like, I mean,
without crowd, I would put that game at about 6, with a crowd, maybe 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
I know it's a 3-point thing, but to me, it'd be more than a touchdown, is the point. So, you know, I think, look, I don't think they're winning at Kansas City either way, but in Seattle, I'll give them a shot there without fans. I'll give them a shot to win that game. I look at Seattle, and I love the Seahawks, as you know, Murray. But nonetheless, I also think Seattle was sort of a smoke and mirrors kind of team last year.
Completely.
Their quarterback, go ahead.
Their defense sucked outside of, like, Bruce Irvin and a couple of other players. Overall, you could throw all over that team. And Russell Wilson was the only reason that they had a winning record, really.
Totally. And I thought when they played Green Bay in the playoffs that it was sort of two teams that were inflated and neither one was great. And look, I'm not telling you the Seahawks suck, but and maybe they'll be better this year. I have no idea. But I'm telling you that I think that game without fans is winnable. And I think the whole crowd thing, Mike, given the discussion we had with Taylor Twellman yesterday, I think the crowd thing for the Patriots is massive because you know how I feel about the idea of going on the road with a relatively young team now. And, you know, you lost a lot of key players at the point or relatively inexperienced team, let alone a potentially, second year quarterback. And Seattle, Kansas City, two games in L.A., Houston, you know, and then the division games. That's a tough road schedule. Like, I could see the Patriots going 3-5, even 2-6 on the road if the stadiums were full. I'd give them no chance to win.
I'm curious what a bookmaker, you know, like what, you know, home road's 3 points. What is it on the road, no crowd? You know, what's the standard number there? I'd be curious to know. You know, Lifshitz or, you know, Jeopardy Joe on the phone or someone tweet him or text him. Like, I'm just curious. Like, what do you think a bookmaker? How would he weight that? You're on the road, but there's no crowd. So if you would be giving 3 away normally in Kansas City, what are you giving away? 1.5, 2, 2.5? Would it be the same? I'm curious about that. Maybe we'll endeavor to see how the wise guys view that. There was one more passing cut that I wanted to play because I want to ask Maz about this as well. Another thing that's a difference in the proposals is you know just not the amount of games, but the scheduling therein. In other words, I think the owners want to end October 1st. The players want to go to October 31st. The players want to start here at the end of June. The owners, I think, have it more into July a little bit. But either way, is any of that feasible? Give me that second passing cut there,
Jeff. Jeff, okay, so we see this graphic here. It says June 30th to October 31st. It is June 1st now, right? We waited all last week for the players to respond to the owner's offer here. Where are they when it comes to timing to getting a deal done? Because we cannot go from one proposal once a week and then a reaction and then another. Because time is winding down here this summer if you're trying to fit in, let's just say hypothetically, 60 to 114 games.
Well, that's the thing, Kevin. The league doesn't want to do 60 to 114 games. It's talking even fewer than that. And the big question at this point is going to be whether the players are willing to do something that short. Because remember, if you're playing 50 games instead of the 82 that was proposed initially, if you're playing 50 out of 160, you're looking at all, you know, less than a third of their salary there. Is that something that the players are going to be willing to do? The league believes that in that March agreement, it has the ability to set the schedule. Now, we have to remember, this March agreement has been a bone of contention already. The league has not believed that the players have the right to a full pro rata share from that agreement. That's something that the players have been stuck on for months now, and it's going to be interesting to see what their response is to this, considering just how quickly the league could be getting back to the union on this. Remember, there was about 5 or 6 days between that Tuesday proposal and the Sunday response from the union. This is one day after the response that Major League Baseball is coming back.
Okay, so two things quickly. First is that first agreement. Who the hell drew up that first agreement?
No kidding.
Where it's like no one knows. Like you hear him say there, MLB believes it has the right to set the schedule. Well, do you or don't you? What, that sounds like the most moronic agreement I've ever heard. No one knows what it says. They're still quibbling over who has the right to do this or who has the right. Is it in writing or not? Did you address any of this stuff or not? That sounds like the dumbest agreement I've ever heard. Like,
totally.
You know, 2 months later, they're bickering over what was actually in the agreement.
Like, as Jason Stark said in the column that you read from yesterday, they can't agree on what they already agreed on.
Brutal. But anyway, players want to start June 30. Is that feasible?
No, I think it's out. I don't think there's any chance. I think the earliest you could do now is, you know, probably 2 weeks into July or maybe a week in, depending on how you trim it. Because remember, spring training was wiped out. Okay, so I've always felt like at a minimum you need about 3 weeks. Some of these guys have been throwing at home, but for the pitchers you need 3 weeks. Let's say you really got to condense it and get it down to two. What about all the testing you got to do for a couple of weeks? There are going to be guys that have to be quarantined, that are going to be changing places, all of this stuff. Like, if the players were to show up today, you could probably get July 1st in play or June 30th, whatever. Like, you could, if they showed up today, maybe. But they're not showing up today. I think it's out. It's gone. Forget it. You're looking at middle of July at the earliest.
Okay, here comes an update from Big Jim Murray when we come back. Another baseball writer who does not get it. I'll give you that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, I think a big problem with baseball is self-awareness, meaning the league, the players.
That's a given.
I think the players have it worse than the owners. But because the league still generates such good revenue and these guys make so much money, I think it's deluded them into thinking that they're still a prominent player on the national sports scene. And this is I think it's sort of a big problem because it leads to this arrogance and this, like, they stick their ass in your face like they're the cat's ass, when the fact is no one knows who you are and no one cares anymore. And, like, until they get that through their head, I don't think they're going to throw the baseball any faster or do any of the things that we want them to do as a game. And I think it's, you know, important for them to get it and, you know, maybe the media that covers them to get it, because I don't think they fully get it either. And the latest jumping off point for me on this is Pete Abraham in the Boston Globe today, who writes a column that a lot of baseball guys have written in the last couple of days, and I think they're right in writing it, in saying that if baseball doesn't get back on the field, if they don't get their act together, they risk losing fans. The headline is, baseball risks losing fans forever. And I think it's true. He says, if baseball screws this up, 17 months will pass between the end of the 2019 World Series and the start of the 2021 season. That's a long time for people to find something else to occupy their time, and they will find something. So, you know, he's right about that. The long-term damage to the game if they shut this season down. But then he puts a line in here that I just want to, you know, discuss and flush out. He says, the NHL, you know, by comparison, the NHL canceled its entire season in 04 and 05 over a labor dispute and has since become a niche regional sport. He says, outside of maybe Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, the best hockey players could walk down the biggest streets in most American cities without being stopped for autographs. He says, hockey fans are a rabid bunch, but how many casual sports fans could name any Columbus Blue Jackets? He says, that's the danger for baseball if it goes down this path. So I just think he misses the mark on this on a couple different fronts. One, did the lockout in 04, 05 make the NHL a niche regional sport?
No, I think it already was.
It's always been a niche regional sport.
It's always been. There's no ice in Alabama. Like, right. What right. Are you gonna, like, this is, of course. Like, that's, I'm sorry, Pete. I'm going to sound like I'm yelling at Pete, but I'm not. I'm just, you know, I just think that.
Yell at the baseball gatekeepers, really, is what this is about.
The 04, 05 lockout really hurt the sport. But it was a niche regional sport before then, and it's a niche regional sport now. It's actually expanded its footprint a little bit. You see these, like, Austin Matthews is from Arizona, yeah. I think. So it's like they've actually increased their footprint a little bit, but it's still, generally speaking, a sport that we care about in the Northeast and the Upper Midwest, and that's about it. Like, race car driving is in the South, and et cetera. That's just, you know, that's what hockey is. It's what it always was.
And Northeast, Great Lakes, Rockies.
Yeah. I mean, and not even I'm not even sure how big it is in the Rockies. Canada, Upper Midwest, and New England. And that's, you know, that's where the sport's hot. That's where it's big. That's where it's always been. And I don't know if it's ever going to grow out of that. It's a tough TV sport. It's a niche regional sport. But the lockout didn't make it that. The sport's been that. Okay. So, but take that aside. But this other point. Outside of maybe Crosby and Ovechkin, the best hockey players could walk down the biggest streets in America and not be stopped for autographs. How many baseball players are truly being stopped for autographs if they walk down, if Mookie Betts walked down the street in Kansas City, do you think anyone would stop him?
No, I really don't. No, no one's going to bother him.
I don't think he'd get bothered. I don't think he'd get a second glance. I don't think he'd get a second glance.
He wouldn't be bothered in Manhattan.
I don't think anyone could tell you who Mookie Betts is. I mean, you know, generally speaking, outside of the hardcore baseball guys, but no, would anyone stop in their tracks if Christian Yelich walked down the street in Boston?
No.
Do you even know who that is, people?
I know who he is. I kind of know what he looks like.
Because I mentioned him once. So he won the NL MVP 2 years ago. He was second in MVP voting last year. He's one of the biggest stars in the game. If he walked in to freaking... for crying out loud, why can't I think of one single bar in Boston? The Poorhouse on Boylston Street.
Whiskeys,
would anyone, is that even still there, that bar?
Yeah.
Would anyone stop him? Would anyone give him a second glance? If he now say, Christian Yelich here, I'd like to buy everybody a round of beers. You know what the bar would say? Thanks for the beers. Who are you again?
Yeah. Who's this finance nerd?
Seriously, no one has, like, and the baseball guys don't get it. The baseball guys, and Pete Abe still thinks that Mookie Betts is like, and I'm not yelling at Pete. I don't blame him for feeling this. This is the sport he covers, the sport he grew up with. This is a sport we all, was the national pastime, was that sport. But I don't think that the people in the game understand anymore that no one knows or frankly, unfortunately, cares about the players in the game unless it's your team. Mookie Betts couldn't walk into the Poorhouse. But
Mike, the game's best player, Mike Trout, would be met with a shrug in most places in America because people don't even know what the hell he looks like, sounds like, acts like.
If Mike Trout...
it's true. It's true. Again, and you know, that's how you have to look at it. It's not just even whether they'd recognize him. It's if he walks in or if Pat Mahomes walks in, who gets recognized first? It's not even close.
Mass, in terms of getting recognized first is one thing. I think Mike Trout, if he lived in Boston... and we didn't know it was here.
No one would. No one would be the wiser.
Could lead an absolutely anonymous life.
Yeah.
No one would stop him. No one would bother him. No one would take a picture of him. And when I say no one, I mean I'm talking like 99 out of 100 people, 999 out of 1,000 wouldn't have a freaking clue. Now maybe I've never seen him in person. Maybe he's jacked and he's big and he would just look like an athlete and people would go, hey, wait a minute. But like for the most part, in terms of recognizability. Are you kidding me? So, like, I don't think the baseball guys get this. The baseball guys don't understand that you all already, Pete, I'm sorry, you're already the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's already what baseball's become. It's a regional sport. You know your team, you care about your players. But the sport, the league, no one knows, no one watches, no one cares. You are hockey. And now you're a regional sport, and then more regions play it. So you're more important in more markets than hockey, and you generate more revenue than hockey because you have more games, and going to a ball game outside in the summer is its own sort of experience. And so, yes, and your ratings on the face of it are higher than hockey, but look at the demos, or don't, if you don't want to get depressed as a baseball fan. The demos are pretty similar. When you talk about people who are under the average age of death, hockey nationally and baseball nationally, it's actually closer than you realize. Now, if you include 65 plus, Grandpa with his teeth on the table next to him and the lazy boy, then the baseball numbers go way up. Their 65 plus numbers are great. But you talk about among the living here.
It just dawned on me that those baseball people that want to argue their like the finance numbers of the game, be like, see, it's still robust. We're making a ton of money, are the same thing as the people, the Patriots fans, would be like, look at the AFC East numbers. Okay, you're putting that in front of me, but you're also denying common sense. You know, like, come on.
So listen, as a little, I came up with a little exercise to help prove this point. Because Pete says, you know, baseball is becoming hockey or, you know, is in danger of becoming. I'm telling you, it's already there. That's what it is. And I have a little game that maybe proves it, maybe proves me wrong, but I want to play this little game with you folks right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, so again, the popularity and identifiability of baseball players and baseball. Pete Abe said it has a chance to become hockey if it doesn't get its act together. They're going to lose so many fans that it could become hockey, just a niche regional sport. And my point is, it's already there. It's already there. And so I came up with a little exercise to see if it proves that point. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. If you want to play along, there's no prizes out there. But if you consider yourself just a decent, you know, casual sports fan, you can call up and you can play along. 617-779-0985. But Maz, you are exempt from this because you know a little bit too much.
I know, I got to stick my thumb in my ear, huh?
But you can play along a little bit. So I want Stu and Murray to play this game.
Tony, just chirp us.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will.
Stu and Murray to play this game. And I'll take calls along the way if you want to play too. I'm going to give you a name, and you have to tell me if you know who it is. Okay?
Okay.
So first of all, I'll give you the name, and don't tell me who he is. Just tell me if you know or if you've ever heard of this person before in your life. You ready to start?
Yep.
Number one, Daniel Vogelbach.
Yes.
No.
Okay, Murray's never heard of him. Maz, have you heard of Daniel Vogelbach?
I think so. Can I guess what position?
Can I guess? Because I said I know.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, this could be anybody. What do you mean, what position? This could be a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah, I think he plays baseball. Yeah.
Okay, who is he, Stu?
He is the first baseman left-handed hitter for the Seattle Mariners.
Very good. All-star. All-star. He's an all-star.
I thought he might be in the Black Keys.
And Murray and Maz, you didn't know?
No, I did not know.
All-star. All-star first baseman, Daniel Vogelbach. Have you ever heard of him, Boston?
I just said yes.
Jimmy's an outlier here.
So did I, yeah. I
thought, second on. Name again. Just tell me if you've heard of this person or not. Clayton Keller.
No.
I have not.
Doesn't he work for Channel 4?
Okay. Actually, is he a hockey player?
He is a hockey player.
Is he a centerman for the Arizona whatevers?
Okay, he is. He is. Went to BU. Well,
Jimmy's good.
Stu's good. Stu's good at this game. You might be too good. Boston, have you ever heard of Clayton Keller? I would say the same.
He's got a sister named Helen.
So frankly, I mean, we're two for two. The only person who's heard of either of these guys is Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay, because the rest of us had no idea. I knew who Clayton Keller was. I had never heard of Daniel Vogelbach until I looked at this today. Never, the name had never entered my ears until I looked at it. He's an all-star.
For Seattle.
Daniel Vogelbach.
He plays in Seattle.
The leader of the band is tired.
So is Clayton Keller. He's an all-star for the Arizona Coyotes. Right, exactly. So what I'm giving you is all-stars. You tell me who they are.
Oh.
who they play for, what position, what sport. These are all-stars. Murray, have you ever, from the baseball reporters, Big Jim Murray, have you ever heard of Tommy La Stella?
No.
Stu, have you ever heard of Tommy La Stella?
I believe he's a baseball player. I believe he's a catcher, and I think he's with the Rangers, the Texas Rangers.
Maz, have you ever heard of Tommy La Stella?
Yes, Tommy La Stella, I've heard of. He is a major league player, and when you say what team he plays for, I'm going to go, oh, that's right. But he's a guy who moves around the infield a little bit, I think.
He's a all-star second baseman for the Anaheim Angels. All-star.
There you go. I was right.
Never heard of him. No real clue who he is, Pete, Abe. And again, I don't mean to yell at Pete, but this is the exercise. Like he believes baseball players are recognizable stars, and hockey players are just regional niche guys. I just gave you three guys: Daniel Vogelbach, Clayton Keller, Tommy La Stella. They're all stars. Big Jim Murray
plays Stella.
Hasn't heard of any of them.
Yeah, everyone you've named. And you work in sports. Yeah, go do this crap on your own time.
Nathan and Boylston, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay, who's Brandon Lowe?
He is a second baseman for the Rays.
Oh, very good. You know too much. Get off your computers.
Yeah, right.
Brandon,
that guy had dork written all over.
Right, could you tell by the voice? He's a second baseman for the Rays.
You ever hear of Brandon Lowe, Murray?
No.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him.
And proudly, too, by the way.
These are all...
He played quite well last year in a small sample.
These are all-stars.
His contract is rather worth it when you break down his warp.
Best value in the league.
Daniel Vogelbach, Tommy La Stella, Brandon Lowe.
La Stella.
Are baseball all-stars. Okay, I've never heard of them. Never mind if they walked down the street in Boston, would I recognize them? Recognize them? I don't know who they are. Never heard of them before in my life. Neither of you, except for that dork who just called us from Boylston. Love you, mean it. Let's see. Jimmy and Brighton, you want to play the game?
Yeah, ready, Mike.
Okay. Elias Patterson.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Just give me some beer at Fenway again, please.
Okay.
Elias. He's a wrestler for WWE.
No, wrong. He's the nice sergeant from Platoon.
Wrong. All-star centerman for the Vancouver Canucks. Never heard of him. Okay. Never heard of him.
Death. What you know about death, Elias?
I walk with Elias.
Here's one for you. You know what? I'll let y'all play this game.
This game's a pisser. I love it.
All right, I'm in.
Wicked.
Maz is in on this one. Who has heard of John Gibson?
Oh. I think I know him.
He's the manager of the Blue Jays.
Wrong.
No, he is a hockey player.
No, that's John Gibbons.
Oh.
John Gibson, I've heard of. I want to say like the Rockies or something.
All-star goalie for the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
Right. That guy. I know who he is. Yeah.
Who here has heard of John Means?
John Means Business. He does the Marquis Salamone commercials.
Okay, hold on. John Means. Alan in Florida, one of our best baseball callers, huge baseball guy. Alan, honestly, don't look at your computer. Have you ever heard of John Means?
I don't use a computer. John, I knew the other ones.
John Means. John Means is an all-star pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles. All-star. He's an all-star. He's a star. He's a star. He's one of the best players on his team, one of the best players in the game, Pete. John Means. No one has ever heard of him, including the most chronic baseball guy we have on our call screen in Allen, Florida. And I'll have you on hold because I know you want to talk about this. John Means. Has anyone ever heard of John Means? That's an all-star.
24-year-old right-hander.
John Means business.
Okay, here's
what... Is he related to Natron?
Here's I would have gotten that one.
Here's one that's easy that you should get. And if you don't, I'll be a little annoyed. Jeff Skinner.
Rangers? New York Rangers?
Hockey player, yeah.
Okay, wrong team.
Carolina.
Formerly of Carolina, now of Buffalo. All-star winger.
Okay, but I knew he was a hockey player.
Okay, so some of these names get easy because... But you got to tell me the team and the position. Miro Heiskanen.
He's a hockey player.
Definitely a hockey player.
Exactly, right? Who is he? What team? What position? Any clue?
Considering the name, I'm going to say a goalie. Sounds Finnish.
He's a defenseman in Dallas. You would never would have gotten him. He's an all-star defenseman for Dallas. Really good young player. Miro Heiskanen. Never heard of him. Just like you've never heard of John Means.
The Wild.
Okay. Felipe Vázquez is not, you know.
Oh, he's a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Not a stay-at-home defenseman for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Felipe Vázquez is what, Jimmy?
A pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay. Has anyone ever heard of him? Murray?
No.
Maz? All-star pitcher. All-star pitcher.
What's his name again?
Okay, Stu. Stu, don't.
I was tuned out a little bit. You told me not to play.
Stu, just blurt out whether you know the name or not without okay. giving who it is.
Sorry to ruin your game.
Because you are sort of ruining the game. You play fantasy, huh?
Yeah.
Because there's no way.
I also watch neutral site baseball.
There's no, well, that makes you the truly odd duck, but it's really the fantasy thing. If you play fantasy, you know the third line winger for the Columbus Blue Jackets, like you know the setup guy for the, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates. So the fantasy players shouldn't be allowed to play. Stu, you're not allowed to play this.
Aw.
Big Jim Murray, Whit Merrifield.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one, Murray. You should know this.
I don't.
Okay, Rich in Bridgewater. Who's Whit Merrifield?
Oh, God, I have no idea. Come on.
Do you know that Whit Merrifield led Major League Baseball last year in hits?
Yeah, Kansas City.
He led Major League Baseball in hits last year, and I've never heard of him.
He's the Brock Holt of the Kansas City Royals, utility guy.
Well, great, but that's better. Something. He plays every day, though. He's good.
That's something.
Good little player.
Whit Merrifield. He sounds like a poet.
Who's heard of him?
I'm glad I don't know him.
Who's heard of him? Led Major League Baseball in hits last year. Who's heard of the guy? Never mind, Pete. Could he walk down the street? He could walk down the street. He could walk down. He could walk down anywhere. Yet he wouldn't get
Mike. I got news for you. He could walk in the studio and you wouldn't know who he was.
Whit Merrifield's here. Cool. Is he cleaning?
Okay. Yeah. Outside of Stewart, who plays fantasy baseball, I think I'm kind of proving the point. You haven't heard of any of these guys. These are all-stars. These are NHL all-stars, MLB all-stars. I have more for you. I have more on this exercise right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. You can play along, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.